Well, here we are. We got some basketball to talk about. We've got some NFL to talk about. We've got a coach that is no longer a head coach in the National Football League. And we've got a Kings team that barely won last night, which is better than, you know, losing. But, boy, I thought they'd come out and play better. I'll take the win. I'm happy with the win. But that was nothing to get excited about.
No, the beginning of the game, I'm thinking, well, okay, here we go. 11-2, they're taking it serious. And then they kind of let them hang around. And when you got a team like the 76ers who are going to play extremely hard, you're always in the danger that they could turn it on. And you and I chatted, and we're talking about Joel Embiid. And ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my goodness.
Let me tell you. Cuz said it all after the game. He said, look, this kid's probably going to be the best center in the league after I retire. And I like the way you put that. But we're talking about this kid can do every single thing on the court, shoot the three.
He's a rookie.
He's a rookie, Grant. I mean, now he has got to watch for 2 years, but he hasn't donned the court at all. And when you think about that, it takes a lot to get out and really understand the NBA game and how it flows. And to watch him, man, he has things that he has a level of nastiness that is unparalleled. I was enjoying watching him play the way that he plays defense. He was shot blocking. He was sticking point guards. I was talking about when DeMarcus does the crossover on most big guys, he gets them. But Embiid, hands down low, I think he played soccer, but I know that I read he played volleyball someplace.
Yeah, let me tell you, he can play whatever he wants to play. All right, that's just the reality. He can play whatever he wants to play. That guy is – if he stays healthy,
yeah.
I don't even know what adjective to use.
Yes, because he is huge, man. I mean, watching him, looking at him next to DeMarcus, I'm thinking,
wow,
man. And the athleticism, the touch, 28 minutes. When he's on the floor, I think they are second in defensive rating. And when he's off the floor, they're 30th. And, I mean, that just tells you everything. He's going to for a long – I really pray and hope he stays healthy, because we will see a lot of good stuff coming from young Embiid.
All right. Rex Ryan fired. Rob Ryan fired. So Buffalo did not wait. And I guess from what I'm hearing, again, Rex Ryan's son is a wide receiver for Clemson. And he knew he was getting fired on Monday. So he said, hey, if you're going to fire me, can you just fire me now so I can go watch my son play in the biggest game of his life against Ohio State? That's part of, you know, what the narrative is. But, hey, Buffalo, he has not gotten the job done in Buffalo, plain and simple. So he is out. Last night, Dallas beats Detroit, and now it sets up a winner-take-all Sunday night unless the Giants beat Washington. The problem there is I don't see the Giants playing a lot of guys. They don't have to win. The Giants are locked into number five. That cannot change. And so I got to believe Washington's going to win, which means that barring a tie on Sunday night, the winner between Green Bay and Detroit wins the division, and the loser is out of the playoffs. That's if the Redskins lose.
Man, that is going to be – and that's Sunday night football.
Flexed it for Sunday night.
As well they should, because that is going to be marquee football, I tell you. Stafford, finger, everything on the line. Rodgers coming back, promising some stuff. This is going to be must-see football. And I guess your pick, but where are you leaning right now?
I'm leaning with the Lions.
I think
they're much better than people give them credit for, and I don't think Green Bay is nearly as good as people give them credit for. I think the Green Bay defense, particularly the secondary, is very vulnerable. Listen, Aaron Rodgers took a lot of hits last week against Minnesota. That place is going to be as loud as it's ever been. Not that I think that bothers Aaron Rodgers. I think the Lions have a very good chance of winning this game. I really do. I think they have a very good chance.
Well, I will say they do. Zach Zenner If that kid can continue to run the football like we saw him do against Dallas, that changes things up for that offense quite a bit, because then it gives Stafford a little rest. He can do some things. But I have a feeling that Green Bay is going to get this one, Grant.
All right.
I think Aaron Rodgers goes in and makes it happen.
Well, the one thing that we know is by the time they take the field, they'll already know what Washington has done.
Right.
So, again, Detroit, they win. They clinch the division. And again, they got to hope that Washington loses. Same thing with Green Bay, but I don't see Washington losing on Sunday. The Giants are playing a meaningless game against a team that, if they win, they're in the playoffs.
What's your take on resting guys right before the playoffs, like you're going to see maybe with New York, and really is going to be a lot talked about, and hopefully when we talk to Charles Davis later, we can talk to him about what we're going to be seeing in Dallas and maybe seeing Tony Romo.
We will not see Tony Romo. They've already ruled him out. They're not playing him next week. They've already mentioned that.
Really?
Yep, they're not playing him. Jerry Jones said that in a radio interview. My take is, guys that are playing hurt, and by that I mean guys that could really benefit from having a week off.
Right.
They're not going to be on the field if I'm coaching. Okay, so, guys that are playing.
Like Collins for New York.
Right. I mean, there are a couple of players on the Giants that are you're actually thinking of Janoris Jenkins.
Jenkins. I said Collins. Jenkins.
I wouldn't play him this week. The Giants know a lot more about Jenkins than I do. And if I do play him, I'm probably only going to play him for a quarter. Justin Pugh, who's had a knee issue and came back from a sprained MCL and has now played 2 weeks, probably giving him the week off. All right. He's your offensive left guard. He's your best lineman.
More importantly, I guess, with what we've seen in Mariota and Carr, what about Eli Manning?
One thing about Eli, I don't have a problem with him playing some part of the game. I mean, he has got the longest consecutive streak of anybody in the National Football League. The chances of him getting hurt in this game would be minimal. But, yeah, I'd be okay if they give him the week off. Again, they have nothing. There's no reason at all why the Giants should play Odell Beckham, in my opinion. There's no reason to have it. If you don't have Odell Beckham, you have no chance in the playoffs. Telling Odell, you're not playing this week.
Okay.
Okay? I'm telling Landon Collins, who's the best defensive player, you're not playing this week. I'm telling Jenkins he's not playing. You can't rest too many guys because your roster is not big enough to do that. But, I probably would not play Eli this week, now that I think about it.
Yeah, well, I think that I don't know why Jerry, now talking about Dallas Cowboys, I don't know why he would go so far as to all of a sudden rule him out when he's been kind of nudging and pushing for it all year. And then all of a sudden, I understand because of what it could do if Tony goes out and plays well and all these different things. But if there is any chance that Dak gets dinged up at some time in the playoffs and you need Tony Romo, he hasn't played in quite some time, Grant.
Again, Tony Romo, according to Jerry Jones, who's a buffoon, is, his reasoning is ridiculous. He says he doesn't want to get him hurt. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Now you don't want to get him hurt, but you've been saying the whole time, let's get him in there. It'd be good to see him. He's going to help us win.
Here's what Jerry Jones does not understand, and he should because he's been in the game long enough. He said, quote, okay, of playing Dak Prescott scares you. He said, of course it scares you, but I know that playing in games like this will help Dak prepare for the bigger moments, and I also know what we have in Romo. I'm not worried about him being rusty, talking about Tony Romo. I've seen what he can do at practice, and he'll be ready if needed. And, I mean, what a luxury. How much would Oakland love to have a Romo who could step in right now? Well, first of all, anyone that thinks that Tony Romo is going to sit out and not throw a pass the whole year.
Right.
And if needed, come in and not be rusty is delusional with a capital D. And Jerry Jones is delusional with a capital D. Now, he's a very wealthy delusional person, but he's delusional. Okay. all you have to do is watch Inside the NFL on Showtime and listen to Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason, who played the position, tell you how long it takes to be in rhythm when you're a quarterback. And they both said on last week's Inside the NFL that you just don't step on the field and you're that guy. It doesn't happen.
You know, it's funny. I guess the only thing that may bode well for Tony Romo if something like that happened is he spent so much time with those receivers. He's not your typical backup that hasn't ever got any reps. Because you're right, when guys coming out of breaks and different things, the ball comes out different and from quarterback to quarterback. Now you look at McGloin in with the Raiders, that is total different. He hasn't been getting those type of reps. Those guys really haven't caught any balls from him. So the two totally different things, but interesting
and
nonetheless.
And again, you talk about, you know, all the different scenarios. You talk about, you know, what teams should and should not do. I know Dallas is going gung-ho about, you know, playing everybody. If you don't want to play Romo, don't play him. Play Mark Sanchez. You know, he's your backup quarterback. Play him. You know, give Darren McFadden the ball 20 times and tell Elliott, you know what, you've got the week off. I mean, or at least, you know, play him a quarter. And then with the Raiders, and you and I talked about this yesterday, this game coming up on Sunday is gigantic for Matt McGloin. He has to win the confidence of that locker room. If he goes into Denver and stinks to join up, he's not going to have any confidence from his teammates. He's got to go in and play well. He doesn't have to play like at a Hall of Fame level. He doesn't have to play great, but he has to play well.
Yes, he's going to have to be a game manager. He's going to have to, you know, little passes across the middle, out in the flat, from, you know, some play action stuff. I don't think that they'll probably go deep, but I agree, Grant, that if he doesn't play well going into the playoffs, not only is he going to lose the locker room, I think that the confidence of the team isn't going to be that high unless by some chance they see another way. The defense turns them over a whole bunch of times and they're able to score or something. Otherwise, yeah, it's going to be tough. So that's going to be a big game, which one that I definitely tune in and watch.
All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800 920-1140. Somebody says, what happens if the Giants win? Well, if the Giants win, then the loser of the Detroit-Green Bay game is a wild card. So
the fact that they will know that before the game starts is really interesting, because if by chance Washington loses, they know, both of them know they're in.
Yes, they would be in.
So maybe you take a different approach, whereas if they know that whoever wins this is in, man, it's balls to the wall. Yeah. We're going after it.
Unless they do a wink, wink, and go, okay. When you get the ball, you're going to kneel on it for four downs. Then we'll get it. We'll kneel on it. We'll play to a 0-0 tie, and we're both in. Because if it's a tie, they both get in.
Can you imagine? I just can't even. We've seen a couple ties this year, though.
Right.
Seahawks were in one.
Oh my gosh,
that would be crazy.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920. 1140. Rudy Gay re-aggravated his hip last night. I know Rudy takes a lot of flack, but the Kings don't win the game without Rudy Gay.
Man, I will tell you, big time third and fourth quarter, but there was a point there in the third quarter where I like to see him in with that energy group of the second group, because they're flying around. The ball ends up in an elite scorer's hand, and he was able to put the ball in the basket and really – watching Dave Yeager continue, Grant, to stay with his second group and trust them to, you know, it's like, oh, do you go to DeMarcus? Do you bring him back? And he's like, no, I'm staying with these guys. And putting Garrett Temple in when he hadn't shot well, he knocks down a big shot. Yep. Pulling all the right strings. Good to see, and good for Rudy. Unfortunate that he aggravated. Hopefully he can get that well. But we've seen the Kings play well without him, so that bodes well, even though they're on the road.
Yeah. And you'll see another battle with Myers Leonard, and he'll give DeMarcus. Woo. And you know, this is a game where if you're DeMarcus Cousins, you've got to go up there knowing that the officials know what happened, and they're going to be looking at this tightly, and you better not be picking up cheap fouls. This is if you're DeMarcus Cousins, you must understand that the officials are going to be keeping a very close eye on this.
This is one of those games. If DeMarcus really wanted to take a leap and grow, he could play this like a puppet, because you got to know that you're in Portland, so the fans are going to be riled up, so that's going to even put more onus on it from the referee standpoint. Every single thing that he does, they're going to go off and they're going to boo, and it's going to be highlighted. You got to be careful. No technicals at all, but definitely no early technicals, because then you got to play. That's kind of what happened in the last game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually. You'd have to be really careful at that point. You make a very, very good point because, you know, to me, if you're both of those guys and you get an early technical, then it changes the way you go out and play, you know?
Yeah, and you got to know that they're going to talk to the referees beforehand. They're going to be chirping in their ear. Terry Stotts is going to be talking to them. So all of that is going to be against the Kings. You're just going to have to go in. There is no Damian Lillard, but, Grant, the last time that we played the Blazers without Damian Lillard, McCollum goes off for 35 at Sleep Train. I think it was 35. It was a big number. And we lost a game that I can remember calling that game or watching it. I thought that the Kings should have won. So here it is again, a game that's winnable on the road. It will be tough because it's always tough playing up in Portland at the Moda Center. It'll be interesting.
Somebody said Tampa Bay is still mathematically alive. Yeah, I don't. When you need a team to tie, I don't consider yourself mathematically alive. You'd have to win. Giants and Redskins would have to tie, and Green Bay would lose. You're not going to the playoffs. You had your chances. Tampa, you're not going to the playoffs, okay? The Giants and Washington are not going to tie. Now, in the AFC, if the Raiders win, they're the two seed.
Yep.
If the Raiders lose and Kansas City wins, then they drop down, you know? So these drop all the way to five, all right?
And that would – so from the Raiders' standpoint, Grant, I would think that having that bye week would be good for a McGloin because you could really get him – insulated, you know, any little stuff that you want to run, any things that you need to put in specifically for him to be more comfortable in a game, you would have that extra bit of time and healing up and all. It would be good. So for the Raiders to win this weekend, I think is paramount.
All right. Again, if you want to chime in, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. You know, we talk about injuries in the NFL. You know, we talk about last night, the stud left tackle for Dallas, Tyron Smith, suffered an MCL sprain, okay? And so he's going to be out, but because of the extra week, he should be fine. Let me tell you something. You know, you talk about Tyron Smith. If Tyron Smith is unable to play, and again, he should be fine,
mm-hmm.
but an MCL sprain, you can aggravate that pretty quickly. In other words, it doesn't take a lot to re-aggravate that. I'm not saying that you should worry, but what I am saying, if you don't have Tyron Smith on that offensive line, it changes everything that the Cowboys want to do in the postseason.
Yes, because they work seamlessly, and they work so well together. And when you talk about ligaments in your knee and sprains, yes, you can put a brace on there, and you can put one that won't move at all. But the problem is the more stronger and resilient the brace is, it's less for the player to be mobile and be able to move around. And with guys diving at your legs and a lot of different stuff, Tyron, he could really injure that again, tweak it again,
yep,
really easily. And if that happens, all of a sudden there's a free lane to Mr. Dak Prescott.
All right. Somebody said last night's game, Costa had 5,000. Then he got a technical, but he stayed in the game. Why? Technical foul is not a personal foul. It does not go against your total of six that you're allowed each and every game. All right. Let's get to Leo. Hello, Leo.
Hey, what's up, Grant?
What's up?
A couple thoughts here on McGloin. So, you know, he was a walk-on at Penn State, undrafted free agent. So talk about a chip on your shoulder. This guy's got a mound on his shoulder. You know, there's a reason we've kept him around. He's been here since the Dennis Allen era, and we could have got a Mark Sanchez, a Fitzpatrick, you name it. There's something they like about this guy. And, you know, you can't measure his heart. You like John Madden said, you can measure, you can watch the film, all the intangibles, but you can't measure his will and his determination. On another note, it doesn't get much bigger than this for McGloin. This is his football life, 30 for 30, you name it. This is what he's dreamed about all his life. And,
well, yeah, you can. You know, a lot of players dream all their life of these big moments, and you're right. This is his opportunity. I understand the point you're trying to make, but there's a reason why he's a backup quarterback, and that's okay. I mean, every team has a backup quarterback, and some teams that have backup quarterbacks end up starting, ended up being the full-time starters. Now, that's obviously not going to happen in Oakland, but, hey, he's got a big game this week. He can really gain the confidence of his teammates if he plays well in Denver.
Right, right. And then if I'm Jack Del Rio, I give him the keys of the Mercedes, so to speak, and I tell him, hey, don't drive it off the cliff. Don't crash it. Just run it hard, run it out of gas, and we'll see where we're at after the game. You know, it's don't ask him to be, you know, Tom Brady or whatever. And I hate to say this. I heard this last night by Bill Romanowski, and he made so much sense. He brought up the fact that, you know, unfortunately, in the NFL, it's a bottom-line business. You could lose your job to injury. And by any means, Grant, I'm not saying that McGlone is going to go in there and tear it up and take Derek Carr away, but just ask Drew Bledsoe and Trent Green what happened when they got injured. You know, their backup came in, stepped up, and the rest is history. And what Romanowski said is, unfortunately, you got to pretend Derek Carr, I don't say he's dead, but he doesn't exist. He's in the river mirror. I mean, you can't be dwelling on him. He's not going to come back. I mean, I'm not delusional and be like, oh, he's going to get a plate and screw in his leg and he's going to come back. He's done, man. I wish I could cross my hands and blink my eyes and he'd be back, but he's done. He's not coming back.
Not this year. Nope. Thank you for the call. I'm not even gonna go after Bill Romanowski. I already did it yesterday. Okay, Bill Romanowski needs. I don't even know what to say, man. I really don't. Let me tell you something. Matt McGloin, okay, could throw 5 touchdown passes in every game that he plays for the rest of the year, including the Super Bowl. And Derek Carr is your starting quarterback next year.
Yeah, that's okay? Right.
Come on now.
Yeah, that you know, no Wally Pipp happening here, buddy.
That's just unbelievable.
No. But you know what? They are going to have to create something for McGloin and insulate him to try to figure out where are they. But first things, you're going to have to run the football. I mean, you're going to have to throw the football. They're going to make you do that. They're going to go after. They're going to stop the run. So he's going to have to show something in the passing game. Without making mistakes.
Right.
And these are, you know, this is you're going to see the best of the best right now.
And, you know, I was hosting the Jim Rome show this morning, and I talked about the situation that I experienced as a fan in the 90-91 season. When in the month of December, Phil Sims got hurt and was out for the rest of the year, and Jeff Hostetler took over and did take the Giants to the Super Bowl. The difference here is the Giants had one of the, if not the best defenses in the National Football League. The Raiders don't have a defense that's one of the best in the National Football Leagues. They don't even have a very good defense. They have an average to good defense. And so, you know, it's not like you all of a sudden can say, okay, you know what, defense, you need to go out and win the game. Your defense is going to have to play better, but they can't just fall back on their defense. And so it is Matt McGloin's going to have to make plays. If the Raiders are going to win in the playoffs, he's going to have to play very well.
Yeah, or you're going to have to get 1 or 2 scores from your defense.
Yes, or special teams.
Or special teams. And then you got to understand, Grant, because just if you get turnovers, if you get turnovers and you turn them into points, meaning that the defense scores, great. But if not, you hand it right back to your offense, and if he's not doing anything, it's a null and void point. And he's going to have to prove that he can do something. They got the nice running game, but the boxes are going to be loaded. They're going to try to stop that. You got great receivers, but can you get them the ball?
I think if the Raiders win the division, I think that Pittsburgh will play the Raiders in week 2 after beating Miami, and I think Kansas City will win their game, and they'll play New England. All right? So the Raiders will have Pittsburgh in their first game.
Ugh. Ugh, I don't like
in
that.
In Oakland.
I don't like that.
I understand, but you got to play somebody.
I know. I'm just saying.
You know, they're not giving you an extra week off. You got to play somebody, and then if they were able to beat Pittsburgh, then they would play the winner of the Kansas City New England game for the AFC Championship. Because I'm predicting that if things unfold the way I think, they'll beat Houston. In my opinion, Kansas City will beat Houston.
Yeah, I would say they would, and the Steelers. Yeah, I think that they beat the Dolphins as well. But Steelers, Raiders, Ben Roethlisberger versus McGloin, that's just not a matchup. Because you're looking at kind of similar in the styles. You got prolific offense versus a prolific offense minus an MVP-type caliber of a quarterback. Both defenses haven't played well. Who are you going to go with in that situation? A guy who's probably won a Super Bowl, Antonio Brown, and wow, that'll be a heck of a matchup.
All right, we'll be right back here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Charles Davis, NFL on Fox, coming up in about 35 minutes, 4:05.
Oh,
I am ducking out here at 5:30 because I've got to catch a flight to get up to Portland. Tomorrow I'll be in the jungle again hosting the Jim Rome Show from Portland. And very happy to say that among my guests tomorrow will be Steve Kerr, the head coach of the Warriors. So I'll be talking with him in the morning.
That's going to be awesome. I've listened to Steve a few times, and I always enjoy. Insightful guy. He answers the questions and the tough ones, and you always get good stuff with him.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll tell you something I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask him, because I had Luke Walton on when I did the Jim Rome Show last year, and he was coaching for Steve, who was out, so Luke was on an interim basis. And I said, hey, Luke, I said, do you give a lot of thought when you want to rest a player where you are and the circumstances surrounding it? And he said, yes, absolutely. And because, you know, to me, there are two teams in the NBA that move the needle right now. One's Cleveland, the other is Golden State.
Right.
And I thought it was a travesty what Tyronn Lue did to the fans in Memphis when he did not travel LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love. I think it's a disgrace. And I know that there's going to come a time here where Steve Kerr is going to sit guys down. And I'm curious to know, I'd be curious to know how much thought, if at all, does he give to who's the opponent and where's the game at? In other words, I'd be more okay with him, let's say, resting a game at the Staples Center against the Lakers, knowing full well that you got to go back there one more time. I'm just using that as an example.
I get you.
All right? As opposed to resting them in Charlotte.
Where you only go
once. Or, you know, I'm using that as an example. So I'm curious about that. And speaking of the Warriors, I don't know if you saw this today, but Kevin Durant came out in support of the officials after practice today. And he feels that the NBA, in their two-minute report, is the equivalent of throwing the officials under the bus.
I really thought that it wasn't a foul, Grant. I did.
It was a foul, though.
Yeah, but
it's a foul. You can't step on someone's foot.
Yeah, but when that happens, it happens during the.
But it's still a foul. It's not intentional, but it's still a foul. By the way the rules are written, it's a foul.
You like hockey and football and you're old school and you call that a foul.
It's a foul. I guarantee you one thing. If you had the ball and someone stepped on your foot and you ended up like Durant, you'd be saying it was a foul.
Damn right I would.
I mean, no, it's a foul. Let me just throw this out here.
Okay.
Today, Kevin Durant said the last two-minute report is BS. I think it's BS, and they should get rid of it. He went on and said the refs. Whoops, just fast forwarded too much. He said the refs didn't lose us that game. We lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
We could have been better. I think it's bull-ass that the NBA threw the refs under the bus like that.
Yeah, the two-minute report, I would have to agree with him. It's who cares?
Yeah,
I mean,
purpose does it serve?
It doesn't really serve anything. It just could you imagine if we had that back when we were playing?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm okay with just the league coming out on an egregious mistake and saying, hey, we reviewed this and we are notifying everyone that our officials erred. But 2 minutes?
Every time?
Come on.
Yeah. What if it happens at 2:05?
If the game's not within 5 points, then it's not on there. Well, it's not on there no matter what.
Yeah, at 2:05.
Right.
That's
sure.
Who cares, man?
I know.
If it's something really bad and you need to answer it because there was just a really big mess up, like getting elbowed in the face by Kobe and the foul going the wrong way, I get it, Grant, but not that.
Steve Kerr said the officials did not decide that game. We had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. It was our mistakes that I'm more concerned about.
No doubt. And that's why I like him, Grant. Exactly.
I do, too.
It has nothing to do. Forget that. You know what? We shot too many jump shots. We weren't aggressive. We turned the ball over. What did we do that allowed us to get in that position?
To back up your point, Kevin Durant went on and said this.
Back me up.
All right? You can't fine us for when we go out there and criticize them, but throw them under the bus for a two-minute report. What about the first quarter? What about the second quarter, the third quarter? Our refs don't deserve that, and they're trying their hardest to get the plays right. And you look at a play in slow motion and say it's wrong. I think it's BS that they do that. That's full of S. that you throw the refs under the bus like that after the game. Like it matters. Game's over. We moving on.
Two things. One, smart player.
Yeah, because now the refs, you know.
Damn right, right? Grant. When I they know. See him, hey, Kevin, we appreciate you sticking up for us. Buddy.
That's right.
Borderline call. Whoop.
Yeah.
To the line, Kevin Durant shooting two.
Right. And DeMarcus, we're not giving you the borderline call.
No, that's exactly right. See, right. And this is where
it's
DeMarcus grows.
Right. Yes, I agree.
And you learn that right there. That is absolutely savvy and really well played
right?
by Mr.
Isn't
Durant.
It?
Yes. Oh, wow.
Because I guarantee you, every member of the officials union is looking at that going, man, it's about time someone stood up for us.
Yep.
That's a player.
Uh-huh. And let me say this. Not only is he going to get the benefit, but the Golden State Warriors are going to get the benefit
as
well.
Except for Draymond Green.
And he will get a little bit more of a benefit that he didn't get before when he didn't get the benefit. That didn't make sense.
No, it sure didn't.
That's
all right.
Can you
please repeat that? That did not make sense.
I don't even think I could repeat it.
Oh, my gosh. All right. If I asked you, Dallas or New England, which of the two teams is least likely to go to the Super Bowl?
New England.
Okay, why?
Because that running game that Dallas possesses with that offensive line, and then last night, Dez Bryant looked like Dez Bryant. That's a wicked combination. And I'll even put the Dez Bryant part to the side. That's a bonus. The fact that you can turn around and hand the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott, and he can, I mean, he's turning the corner down at the goal line. He's going in, jumping outside, racing to the pylon, and he can, yeah. I mean, I get what New England's doing, and I got that, but I would probably say the Dallas Cowboys.
All right. What do you think, folks, of the two teams, assuming that New England's the number one seed, and again.
And Stanley, screw you.
Stanley's not coming on anymore. He's banned from the radio. Gutless is what he is. I mean, what do you think, folks? Dallas or New England, if New England ends up being the number one seed, they've got to win this week or have the Raiders lose. And I think they'll beat Miami. But assuming that they do beat Miami, because Miami's got nothing to play for.
Right.
They're already in and they've got their seed. Then of the two number one seeds, New England and Dallas, which one is least likely? All right, less likely, not least. Which one's less likely to go to the Super Bowl? 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Grant Napier, Doug Christie, Charles Davis coming on a little after 4 o'clock from the NFL on Fox. We'll talk to him about this year and the teams that are still fighting for the playoffs, Washington, Detroit, and Green Bay in the NFC, going right down to the wire.
Man, I already know he's going to have some absolute fantastic takes. One of my favorites. It's 3:38, time for Jacuzzi of Sacramento's 2016 floor model clearance, jacuzziofsacramento.com.
All right. Again, if you want to text the show, 44-1140. If you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. If you want to talk about the Kings game last night where they had to come from a 7-point deficit at the end of three and then had to come from behind again towards the end of that contest. It was not a thing of beauty.
No, it was not.
They got the win and they've won four in a row, and that's fine and dandy because you're not going to be playing at a certain level, you know, most nights. But now that's four games in a row where they've trailed going into the fourth quarter and they've won all four.
Detroit Lions-ish.
That's right.
That's something that you don't want to play with. It is a good thing to learn because you build up a cachet of trust in each other and confidence and a lot of different things because you are in pressure situations. But there are points and times in the game, Grant, where we continue to see that they get a lead and then they give it away. And at some point, you got to start building on that. How do we capitalize that? I always say, you need to talk. You need to get to the free throw line. You need to be able to stop runs on your own instead of calling timeouts and different things like that. So it's a learning process, but I expected a little more yesterday, even though they still won. Give them that.
All right. Let's get to Chris. Chris, you're on with Grant Napier. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Grant. Hi, Doug. How's it going today?
Hey.
You posed the question on which team is least likely to go.
Yeah, if I told you one of them's not making it, which one you taking?
I would say Dallas of the two. Reason being is I just looked at who could stand in the Patriots' way, and the only team I could think of that could have scored along with them would have been the Raiders. And obviously now with Derek Carr not being able to play, I doubt that anyone's going to be able to.
How about Pittsburgh?
The thing with Pittsburgh, I would say, is the defense is so bad that Tom Brady's just going to eat them alive, and the Patriots have a better D than Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so I agree with you there.
To get a couple stops from Pittsburgh, I doubt Pittsburgh's going to stop Tom Brady at all, though.
Good point. I like that. I can't argue with that one, actually, because the only thing is, if Pittsburgh is able to score with the Patriots, it's going to come down to gritty who's going to get one stop. That'll be interesting to see.
Ethan, you're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie. Ethan, are you there?
Hey, Grant, here, man. Pretty simple answer. You got New England, too much experience, too much talent, too much of a good system. With Belichick and Brady, Dallas is too new. So out of the two best seeds, I think that Patriots will take it all. No doubt about it. Dallas has got a lot of learning to do. Who knows what you're going to see in the postseason with those guys. Looking forward to hearing your response.
The difference is the unknown and the known. I know New England's not going to beat themselves. I know how Tom Brady's going to play.
This is true.
I don't know how Dak Prescott's going to play. I mean, the playoffs are a different animal. I mean, Donovan McNabb didn't play well in the postseason. Carson Palmer didn't play well in the postseason. I mean, just because you were really good in the regular season doesn't mean you're going to be really good in the postseason. So that's the unknown. There are no unknowns with New England.
This is true. And in coaching-wise, I would say Belichick is, you know, you give him that extra week.
Oh,
you
boy.
Give him some time, and he is going to lock in on you like
yes,
a pit
is.
Bull.
No question. All right, we'll continue on that. If you want to call the program, 339-1140, 800-920-1140, right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. It's 347, time for a retirement checkup. Call David Hedger at Granite Bay Asset Management Group, 791-1737. Let's get to Louie. Hello, Louie.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, well, I think Dallas would be the least likely to get there for the reasons mentioned earlier about, you know, with that less experience, you'll make a mistake or two. But mainly because Dak Prescott only needs to make a couple mistakes for Jerry Jones to try to ruin everything and throw Romo on there and see what a horrible idea that was.
You guys have changed my mind. Because that's well said.
They're not going to take Prescott out in the middle of the game. I just don't see that happening.
You don't think so,
no.
Huh? The fact that it's even a possibility is pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. But we are talking about Jerry Jones. We are talking about Dallas. Well, then you have to ask yourself, okay, if you look at both conferences and you start in the AFC and you ask yourself,
okay,
who could beat New England? Well, I think Kansas City could beat them. All right? In other words, I wouldn't be shocked, the point I'm trying to make.
Right.
I wouldn't be shocked if Pittsburgh beat them. I wouldn't pick Kansas City or Pittsburgh to win at New England. But if both of those teams won, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
They're the only two teams, in my opinion, that can beat New England.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, you agree with that?
Yes.
Or do you have another team you'd add?
No, no. Dolphins, no. Texans, no. And Raiders now with no Carr, no. Yes.
Okay. In the NFC, the teams that I could see beating Dallas. I could see Atlanta beating Dallas because they can score and they could get in a track meet. And you know what? If Matt Ryan and Julio Jones are hot, I could see that. Okay?
Yes. Yep.
I already know the Giants can beat Dallas because they beat them twice already.
This is
so
true.
I can't preclude them. I could say, yeah, the Giants can beat Dallas because they're the only ones that have beat Dallas.
Yep.
And they beat them twice.
Right.
And then the wild card in all of this, in my opinion, is Seattle.
Yep.
Because I don't know who the real Seattle Seahawks are right now.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Because if the Seattle Seahawks who went to New England come out, they'll beat anybody.
Yeah, but they without Earl Thomas, they do not look like the same team on defense.
Don't. So that's a wild card. My team, it's
right.
Possible.
Right.
Probably not probable right now unless they get some mojo going.
Now, people would say, well, what about Green Bay or Detroit? Well, we just saw Detroit last night. And that didn't work. What about Green Bay? Well, Green Bay can score, but Green Bay, I don't see defensively at all being able to stop the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, if I'm looking at the Green Bay Packers, and everyone's on Green Bay this, Green Bay that, I don't see it. And I'm going to tell you why I don't see it, okay? In must-win games in the last 2 weeks,
okay,
they were in Chicago, and the lousy Bears with Quasimodo, a quarterback, scored 27 points, okay?
Who was that quarterback, Greg?
All right. So let's just, okay. And then Minnesota, you know, they were competitive. They lose 38-25. Now, again, I understand that Green Bay in their last 3 weeks has scored 38, 30, and 38. But in their last two games, they've given up 27 points to an inept Bears team, and they gave up 25 to Minnesota. And, you know, the Bears actually could have won that game.
Yes.
That's why I'm not so sure, you know. And, again, that's with Matt Barkley, a quarterback. Come on now.
Yeah, if Green Bay made it all the way to the NFC Championship game, I would then say they have a chance to beat them because they would be playing well enough, and you got Aaron Rodgers.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to Craig. Hello, Craig.
Hello, Grant?
Yes, sir.
Hey, all right. How you doing, buddy? Hey, your question there, I guess I would say Dallas, but, you know, it's kind of one of the questions where it's kind of, for one, the conference is strong. The NFC is a whole lot stronger than the AFC, top to bottom. And then, of course, Derek Carr going out. So the question really, it really doesn't mean too much there. But you guys are laughing at, the last little section, you and Doug are laughing at Jerry Jones. And, you know, Jerry Jones has been taking a lot of flack. But if you look at that draft, not only this, just not just last year, but the previous year, the way that team is built, you know, draft them offensive linemen. Even this draft here, nobody's not talking too much about the cornerback Brown that got hurt yesterday.
Yep.
He's gonna be a good player.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Collins on the defensive line, he's gonna be a good player. You know, not counting on Zach and Zeke, but you know, hey. But then they're gonna do good in the draft this year coming up too. But I'm telling you.
Well, how do you know that?
Well, how you know they're not?
I don't, but you can't sit there and go, you know they're going to do well in the draft. You have no idea of knowing that.
Is this Stanley in your masking your voice?
Well, I can't even hardly hear him, but still, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you don't know, and it's possible, and you do, to the caller's point. You got to give Jerry credit because, I mean, he went and he picked a running back fourth, which usually doesn't happen. He stacked the offensive line. He picked Dak Prescott, who – I mean, it's turned out to be the best quarterback in the draft in the fourth round. I mean, yeah, okay. I give him credit, no doubt.
Somebody says, Grant and Doug, please tell me why they allow somebody like Romanowski to be on TV. Good God, I can't. I can't answer that question. I have nothing to do with it. I can't answer that question.
Hey, Romo's rant is priceless. If you got Grant's rant, Romo's rant is pretty good stuff.
I cannot answer that question. He wanted to give me an answer. I don't have an answer. I do not know. It has nothing to do with me. I don't make those decisions. I don't even know who he works for. I don't care who he
CSN.
Works for. Huh?
CSN.
Is that right?
Yeah, I see him all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
Tell him said hi.
In the green room.
Good.
I will do that.
Yep.
I'll say Grant Napier said hello.
Tell him, you know, Derek Carr, tell him I want to see if I can beat him in a 440-yard dash in 3 weeks. All right? Say, hey, Grant wants to run a quarter mile. He wants to tell him, I'll tell you what, I'll try to be Edwin Moses and I'll see if I can do some hurdles. Ask him if Derek Carr is going to be able to do some hurdles.
It's not possible, all right? Grant. You know what? I'm thinking that caller misunderstood him.
Oh, my gosh. It's 3:54, time for retirement checkup. Call David Hedger at Granite Bay Asset Management Group, 791-1737. Oh, my gosh. Yes, he did misunderstand him. Is that right?
Yes. That's what I'm thinking,
you are
Grant.
Killing me.
I'm just saying. What did he say, 3 weeks?
Best case scenario.
Hey, do you know, I don't even get a scab on my finger after cutting it in 3 weeks.
Best case scenario, 3 weeks.
we can't make this stuff up.
Now, you know, listen, not to be not in any way, shape, or form to be insensitive or rub people the wrong way with this comment. He'd probably be better off having his foot amputated and having a prosthetic put on, and he could be back in 3 weeks before he could get back from surgery with a broken ankle. I mean, for crying out loud.
Yeah, you did have to go there, Grant.
No, but what I'm saying is, I mean, give me a freaking break here, would you please?
I don't.
I mean, here's the deal. You're giving fans that are so passionate and love their team so much false hope. by even intimating that he could come back at any point in time during the playoffs.
Because
if he did indeed say that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he said that.
And that's
I'm going
I said,
by a caller's statement.
He misunderstood. It's 3:55, time for Jacuzzi of Sacramento's 2016 floor model clearance. JacuzziofSacramento.com.
All right. When we come back, we are going to talk with the one and only Charles Davis.
Oh, yeah.
The NFL on Fox. We'll do that right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.